Business today moves faster than ever. If you are slow to adapt, then you will get left behind. If you're still running on QuickBooks, that's you. It's time to hit the gas and accelerate with NetSuite. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/wallstreet.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, April 29th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. All this week, we're explaining investing basics, the differences between various assets, the benefits and risks, and how each of them fit into a diverse portfolio. As they say in sports, the best defense is a good offense. And over the past few days, we've explained ways to protect your portfolio against sharp market swings through bonds and mutual funds. Today, you can add gold to that list of safe havens.
In general, a lot of financial advisors recommend investors allocate at least a small portion of their portfolio to gold as a hedge.
Coming up, our markets reporter Amrit Ramkumar will shine a light on gold, whether it lives up to its promises and how to add it to your portfolio. That's after the break.
If you're a business owner, you don't need us to tell you that running a business is tough. Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Join the over 24,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/wallstreet. netsuite.com/wallstreet.
When major economic or world events shake the markets, investors look for someplace safe to put their money. And for many of them, that's gold. It's no coincidence that gold had its best year in a long time during the pandemic. But how does gold pan out in the long term? Amrit Ramkumar covers markets for The Wall Street Journal, and he joins us now. Amrit, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
All right, Amrit, so tell me, why would I or why would anybody want to invest in gold? What's the appeal?
There are a ton of reasons people invest in gold, and gold, I would say, is one of the most contentious mainstream financial assets. Some people use it simply as a hedge against an economic downturn. Some people use it to hedge against a huge surge in inflation. A lot of people use it simply to speculate, though, and I think that's a big key here is just as is the case with stocks and other riskier investments that are other commodities, like gold is used to bet on higher prices, and a lot of people think that it can be quickly traded and swapped out to make a quick buck. But some people and some like kind of disaster theorists or people maybe preparing for the end of the world like to hold on to it because its value over time can tend to go up. So it's a very contentious topic. A lot of people, like even our Wall Street Journal investing columnist Jason Zweig, has famously called it a pet rock. Jason did that a few years ago, then the price shot up to new records in 2020. So there are a lot of reasons gold is in the news on occasion and a lot of reasons people own it. But usually people investing in it are doing it for one of those broad reasons.
Okay, so let's say I have a portfolio. I have stocks, a 401k, maybe I have some savings. Where does gold fit into that in terms of the spectrum of investments that I have?
In general, a lot of financial advisors recommend investors allocate at least a small portion of their portfolio to gold as a hedge. So it's a precious metal. Its value tends to be relatively stable when the economy's going bad. That's why we saw the coronavirus pandemic spark a big surge in prices, for example. So that's why people recommend usually holding at least a small amount.
Now, gold is often called a safe haven, but how well has it lived up to its promise in the past?
Depends when you look at it, JR. This is, again, one of the biggest debates in markets. So, again, last year, for example, we saw the pandemic start roiling markets and prices shot up and they rallied for a while and they set records last August above $2,000 a troy ounce. But, again, some of that was driven by the fundamentals, but when gold, like any other asset, rallies, a lot of people pile into the space seeking gains. So a lot of times people say it tends to overshoot what would fundamentally be justified. And so if people held gold throughout and didn't take any profits, the price has fallen $200 to $300 since then, depending on what time frame you're looking at. So in general, yes, like when the economy is going bad, when markets like stocks that are mainstream are struggling, when people expect interest rates to fall, the price of gold will generally go up. But like anything else, it can overshoot, and it is extremely volatile. I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions. People hear safe haven, they think very stable price doesn't fluctuate that much. Actually, the price of gold, it is quite common for it to move 1% in a day for no real particular reason. So there are a lot of different relationships that move it, like lower bond yields tend to boost gold because government bonds are another safe haven asset. So lower yields in government bonds make gold more attractive. A stronger dollar makes gold less attractive because it costs more for people overseas to buy it at that time. So there are a lot of different factors that move it, and it can be very volatile, even though in general it often is seen as a safe haven.
Okay, so let me ask you a more nuts and bolts question. When you invest in gold, what are you actually investing in? You know, I mean, if I buy gold, am I like, you know, Scrooge McDuck sitting over a mountain of gold coins? Or what am I actually putting my money into?
It really varies from investor to investor what exactly they own, and that's an important point when thinking about the gold market. A lot of people prefer to own physical gold bars or end coins and hold them at home, maybe in a safe if they have a lot, and just watch the value hopefully appreciate over time. So that's a common way for some people. A lot of other people now prefer exchange-traded funds like the SPDR gold shares that are backed by the metal, but holding that ETF, which charges investors a fee for holding it, means that you don't actually have to touch any metal yourself. So some people think that's cleaner. So they're making a bet on the price of gold, but they don't actually have to purchase anything and deal with shipping it and holding onto it and all of that. There are other ways, including investing in shares of gold miners. Gold miners, an important point, tend to be much more volatile than even the underlying price. So when the price of gold falls, gold miners tend to fall even more. When gold prices rise, shares of gold miners tend to spike even more. There are also gold futures contracts. So with the rise of trading apps like Robinhood and others that make it easier for everyday investors to even trade futures contracts, some people might even use those. And those are commonly used by professional investors and traders and mining companies to speculate on where prices might go and hedge against price moves. So depending on who you talk to, you might be Scrooge McDuck or any of a number of types of investors, really.
Okay, so if I'm envisioning wrapping my hands around a pile of coins, that's just pretty much Hollywood?
It could be. Honestly, at different times, we've seen huge runs on like gold and silver on these popular websites where people can order gold and silver coins and bars. So like when the pandemic first disrupted travel, that caused a lot of issues because a key part to the physical gold market is travel between Europe and the US and other hubs in Asia, and that travel was disrupted. So there were huge shortages and a huge run on, again, people trying to get their hands on gold that were preparing for the end of the world. So yeah, who knows? In some cases, investors might be doing their best Scrooge McDuck impersonation.
All right. So if somebody's listening to this podcast and they think, hey, I want to invest in gold, what's the first step they should take?
The first step when trying to invest in gold is wrapping your head around all of the different ways we've outlined to invest in them and determining what is best for you. So if you want gold to be X percent of your portfolio, do you want to be holding something like an exchange-traded fund that just holds the metal and will track the price over time? Do you want to be a quick trader trading something like futures contracts or even something more volatile like shares of miners or even options? Like those more volatile things require a lot more knowledge and thought. So depending, or you could again obviously do just physical bars and coins and hold on to those for a while. So the first thing you need to do is understand the pros and cons. Again, we've outlined a bunch of those different investments and decide what would be most suitable for your situation.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal markets reporter Amrith Ramkumar. Amrith, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
And coming up tomorrow, the final chapter in our week-long guide for new investors. We'll be taking a look at something that set the investing world on fire, cryptocurrency.
I mean, look, if you bought Bitcoin this time in 2020, you have made a lot of money. If you bought Bitcoin at this time 4 years ago or 8 years ago, you're a millionaire or maybe a billionaire.
So what do investors need to know about this highly speculative, famously volatile asset? We'll unlock some of the mysteries around Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies tomorrow on Your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.